You're listening to the Restoration Church Podcast. For more information, visit www.restorationlex.com. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. Hey, there's a few good mornings. Awesome. Appreciate that. So who's ever had like that nervous twitch in their left or right eye? Right? This TV is like having that nervous twitch this morning, right? It's like in, out, in, out, which actually makes me kind of happy because I've kind of got one of those nervous twitches this morning. You know, when you like have this Holy Spirit sermon series and there's like this call to listen to what the Holy Spirit says and do what the Holy Spirit says. Sorry, my mic's falling off. You try to do that. You don't necessarily do your normal thing. So this morning, I'm not going to do my normal thing. Normally, I'm into storytelling. I'm into topical preaching, but I just kind of feel God didn't really lead me that way this morning. And actually, the way that God has kind of led me, the Spirit's led me, is to actually go through Galatians 5, verses 13 through 26, verse by verse. Now, I'll be honest and upfront. When I hear someone going, oh gosh, we're going to go through the Bible verse by verse, this is going to be a really long time. And do you know the kind of preachers that have a really hard time landing the plane? You know what I mean? It's like they circle the airport five times, six times. They keep hitting the same point over and over and over before they ever actually land the plane. We're not going to do that this morning. Just, I want you to know that up front. We're not going to circle the plane around the same thing 100 times. We're just going to hit each of these things. We're going to get in depth, and we're going to get through it. And hopefully, it'll be a life-giving thing for you guys. Now, one of two things is probably true this morning. If you're here, you're either one of Restoration's just core committed family members, unlike Justin, who's off on vacation. That's for you, Justin, buddy, when you listen to this podcast in a day. We are glad Justin is getting to take a vacation, that he's off in Florida. That's the Spirit giving us rest is one of the most spiritual things we can do, along with studying scripture, along with prayer, along with worship. Rest is a very spiritual thing, and I'm glad Restoration acknowledges that. We believe in rest. We believe in having that time off. Now, the second thing is probably true. If you're not one of the committed ones around here, like this isn't your normal thing, you probably didn't have anything better else to do this weekend, even though it's July 4th weekend, so welcome. Those of you are like, yep, I didn't have anything better else to do. I wanted to go on that vacation, but didn't get to. Now, like I said, we're going to kind of talk about this passage. It's Galatians 5, 13 through 26, and I love storytelling. I tend to think in terms of story. And even though I'm going through this particular passage verse by verse, I still wanted to approach it like a story. And there's a thing that's common in every single story. It's this thing called a through line. It's the thing that ties the story from beginning to end. It's the main idea. It's the thing that just gets you from beginning to end through the entire story. And if this particular passage has a through line, it's this. And it's human nature brings death, but the Spirit brings life. Everything that we talk about this morning as we engage in this scripture, it's going to kind of be centered around this. Human nature brings death, but the Spirit brings life. Now, that's a huge concept, and it's a vague concept. It's one of these things, okay, that makes sense on the surface level, but Paul, what do you actually mean? And I think diving into what this actually means going through this passage verse by verse. It's not just a topical thing. It's not just here's a few wise sayings. It's let's get into the nitty-gritty of this. Let's chew on this passage like a good steak. Let's actually savor this entire thing. And the best way to do this, I think, is to actually jump right into the middle of the scripture. You know, like when you're cutting a steak, well, for me anyway, I like to cut straight down the middle of a steak. I want to see that it's medium rare and still mooing a little bit, right? Anyone like medium rare steak? Hey, good. There's a few of you. If you like your steak well done, something is really wrong with you. We're going to start in verse 17, and we're going to kind of set the tone this morning by going over this particular verse. It says, "For what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants, and what the Spirit wants is opposed to what our human nature wants. These two are enemies, and this means that you cannot do what you want." Now, that's sort of a mouthful, honestly. But Who's ever struggled with trying to do the right thing internally? You're trying to do the right thing, but you keep finding that you're doing the wrong thing. I'm probably not the only one in here. Now, that's probably true of every single person in this room. I think all of us have something in our life where it's this internal struggle, and no matter what we do, no matter how hard we try, we just keep doing the wrong thing. Now, I want to let you in on a little secret. That doesn't mean that you're a bad person. That doesn't mean that you're a terrible person. If you struggle really badly, that doesn't mean that God has given up on you. It means the opposite. What's going on, according to this verse, is that there's a war going on inside of you. There's a battle going on inside of you. The human nature, the flesh, it's waging war against the spirit. If things are messy in your life, that's actually a really good thing. Can I get an amen? Yeah, few of us resonate with that, right? All of us resonate with that. Now, I would be concerned, and I can only really speak for myself with this. If there wasn't some kind of struggle, little, medium-sized, big-sized, I would have to ask myself, is the Spirit really at work in my life? I mean, if there's not a struggle that I'm going, okay, I'm either just going with emotions, I'm either just going with the flow, and I'm not really paying attention to what the Spirit's doing, or something has just gone wrong. So I want to reemphasize this. If you struggle with anything, it's okay. It's a good thing. That means the Spirit is at work in your life. If you didn't care about your struggles, the Spirit would not be at work in your life. Now let's jump to verse 13. This is Galatians 5, verse 13. As for you, my friends, you were called to be free, but do not let this freedom become an excuse for letting your physical desires control you. Instead, let love make you serve one another. And in some translations, it says, instead, through love, become a slave to one another. That's a pretty bold statement. The struggle is real. And sometimes when we struggle, we think that we're not free or that we can't find freedom. And I want to tell you, that's just absolutely untrue. I remember a time in my life, it was 2004, I decided that I was going to run away from God. I was mad at God. I was failing college. And what I did, I was like, well, I'm going to go join the military. Some of us do that nonsense. I decided I'm going to go join the military. I'm going to get away from God and everything's just whatever. I'm in a completely different state. I don't have to deal with my family. I don't have to deal with my friends. I don't have to deal with all these Christians who are going to judge me for my struggles in college. And I'm just going to go do this thing. So I joined the Army, and I joined the infantry, and I head straight for Fort Benning, Georgia, running from God. Now, it probably isn't a surprise that when I get to Fort Benning, Georgia, I get to basic. Some people call this boot camp. It's basic in the Army and Air Force. I run straight into God, and I'm kind of like, well, crap, right? Huh, God's here too. This is interesting. And it only got worse when, for whatever reason, I got nicknamed Preacher among 200 men that are there training together to go to war. And I'm like, really? God, I'm running from you. I'm trying to get away from all this. I'm struggling with all of this. And I go to boot camp to get away from all this. And you're going to give me the nickname Preacher here? Can I really not get away from you? There was a serious internal struggle going on, a major struggle. But what I discovered is that God hadn't given up on me. God wasn't done with me. God wasn't through with me. And you know what I found in that struggle? I found freedom. There's this weird, unexplainable freedom, this weird, unexplainable peace. When you know that no matter what you're going through, whether you've caused it or someone else has caused it or it's just happened, there is incredible freedom knowing that God is still for you, because that's who God is. That's who God is. But you've got a choice of what you do with your freedom. We all have freedom. We all have struggles. But you've got a choice, and that's what Paul is really going to get into with this particular passage. You can use your freedom to satisfy the desires of your flesh, make life about yourself, and what's going to end up happening is that you're just going to continually die over and over and over and over again. You're going to keep continuing to make decisions that just cause lifelessness in you. Or, in a weird way, you can use your freedom to serve and love others. That's what this says. I'm not making it up. It's interesting that Paul puts this like right here in the middle of all this. You can use your freedom to serve others when you're being guided by the Spirit. And you're going to discover life. You're going to start feeling alive. Now in verse 14, Paul goes on, "For the whole law is summed up in one commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself." And maybe that's what Paul's talking about back in the previous verse. You're not going to discover life by serving yourself and making life about yourself. Maybe you're going to discover life, you're going to discover what love is by making it about other people. We'll never fulfill the law ever based on the things that we do personally, like trying to accomplish things. Our human nature is never going to fulfill the law. So we might as well give up. Now, for the longest time, I was a doer. I wanted to do everything right. I wanted to say everything right. And somehow, in the midst of trying to do everything right and say everything right, I still felt dead inside. You can't fulfill the law like that. It doesn't work like that, unfortunately. And for some of you guys, that's probably bad news. But I promise there's some good news to that. Verse 15. And this is just like Paul tacking on this extra thing on top of this whole setup that he's doing with this particular passage. "But if you act like wild animals, hurting and harming each other, then watch out, or you will completely destroy one another." There's a few things that I just instantly think of when I read this particular passage. I kind of want to point at the outside world when I read this particular passage. Like, yeah, the world's devouring one another right now. The world's eating each other up right now. There's these political factions and all this stuff going across the world, and people are just fighting against one another left and right. But Paul's not talking to the world in this verse. He's talking to us. He's speaking to us. And it's like, what are you trying to say, Paul? Like, what's your point to me? Like, why would you be speaking to us, not the world, in this particular passage? And here's what I think's actually going on. I think Paul knows that human nature leads to death and the Spirit leads to life. I think Paul knows that if we are trying to serve God, but we're still choosing our human nature, that's what we're doing. We're not living by the Spirit. We're not abiding by the Spirit. That we're not going to just hurt ourselves. We're actually going to be hurting people around us. Anyone ever see that play out? Have you ever been the one to have that play out? I know I've been the one to have that play out where I've been serving myself and I've been making it about myself, and I didn't even realize I was hurting other people in the process. This is what the human nature does. And sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's not this big, grand, oh, you're a horrible person. Sometimes it's just little itty-bitty things. And we end up hurting others because of that. So Paul is like putting us on guard. Listen. Live by the Spirit. Abide in the Spirit. Be directed by the Spirit so you don't gratify the desires of the flesh. Because if you gratify the desires of the flesh, you're not going to just hurt yourself. You're going to hurt other people. And I'm going to bet because you're sitting in this room this morning, there's not a single person in this room who wants to hurt other people intentionally or unintentionally. I mean, it's the name of the community, Restoration. We want to see restoration being played out even when these things do happen, right? So verse 16, and we're going to spend a little bit of time here. What I say is this: let the Spirit direct your lives and you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature. If I'm honest, this is a verse that's hard for me to understand. It's kind of vague to me. It's like, okay, what I say is this: let the Spirit direct your lives. Some translations say, live in the Spirit or walk in the Spirit. Makes sense in English, but Paul, like, this seems like it's some spiritual thing way out there that there's this ethereal, like, mystical thing I can't see because that's how we talk about the Holy Spirit. Like, how do I actually live in the Spirit? How do I abide in the Spirit? Like, how do you do that? How do you walk in the Spirit? Where is that clearly defined? I'm a guy of definitions. I like hard facts. I like, here's how you do it, right? That's just me. So that's how I'm going to kind of approach this morning. And sometimes trying to figure something out, sometimes trying to understand the meaning of something, you have to understand what it's not. Does that make sense? You have to define what it's not. So here's what I know about walking in the Spirit. I know it's not satisfying human desires, satisfying the human flesh, gratifying the desires of our human nature. I know it's not that. Okay, I can be on board with that. But what does that look like? What does it mean to satisfy the human nature? What does it mean to satisfy our flesh or gratify our flesh? Well, there are three words that I think if all of us kind of tune into these three words, we can probably find ourselves in one of these three words. Lust, power, money. I think probably all of us have wrestled with all three of those things. I've never seen lust gratified and it lead to good things, ever. I haven't seen it. Generally, it's destruction and death everywhere. Really bad things happen when you satisfy lust. And the same thing is true about power. Why is it that if you're the top person in power, you're still afraid of everyone else around you and what they might do with your power, if you've got all the power in the world? Why does it lead to so many crazy things throughout history? Power is a human flesh thing, the way that we do it. And money, I'm preaching to the choir. We all know this. We know that money is not the ultimate thing that brings us happiness. You guys have probably heard that preached for 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, however long you've been alive, you've heard preachings about money and how it doesn't lead to us having a life. Money's not the thing that gives us joy in the world. It's Jesus. Money's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's the love of money, and oftentimes we can't distinguish between those two things. So walking in the Spirit is not those things. That's obvious, Jesus. I get that. I know that walking in the Spirit's not trying to satisfy lust, money, and power. Cool. Okay, it's also not a matter of doing the right things. Kind of like I said earlier, for, 15 years of my Christian life, my life was, if I do all these things and I get all these things right, then things will be good. I'll be walking with the Spirit. If I say all the right things and never say the wrong thing, things will be good. Man, I learned that one the hard way. It was kind of like a slap in the face when I figured out that really what I was doing was being a Pharisee. Really, my faith had become legalism. It's like, if I just do all these things perfectly, then you and I, God, we're good. No. It's kind of like the basketball player who does all the right things but isn't a part of the team. They could care less about the team. There's really not a relationship with the team. You can say and do all the right things, but you're still missing the biggest part of what it means to be a part of the team. Sometimes we do that with the Christian faith. So walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, abiding in the Spirit, what the heck does this mean? Like, how do we resolve this tension, God? Like, what is this? I want to go all the way back to the creation story, our creation story in Genesis 1, Genesis 2. It says that God, when everything was empty and formless, God, he created the heavens and the earth, and he filled the heavens and the earth. In 6 days, and he made everything beautiful. He made everything perfect. He called it good. There was this perfect world, and he filled people with the earth. He filled Adam and Eve, put Adam and Eve in the world to fill the earth. And then he says, on day 7, I decided to rest. God rests. And God didn't need to rest because he was tired. So what the heck does that mean? God doesn't necessarily need rest because God is God. God can do anything. God doesn't get tired. That's probably a part of what makes God God. But he rests. What's actually going on there? Because I think that's actually what's going to inform how we understand what it means to live in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit. God rested with people. God abided with people. Can you imagine on day 1 for you, day 2 for you, after God has made this beautiful place and God has breathed you into existence, one of the very first things God does with you is that God just sits down with you and starts breathing words of life into you. God is resting by speaking words of truth into you, celebrating what's happening around you. So the word abide, you can compare it to the word abode. Anyone ever use the word abode? There's a few people, all right. There's one person. sorry. So an abode is a house. It's a dwelling. It's a word we don't often use much. And it's like one letter different than abide. You abide in your abode. And your abode is your dwelling. It's the place that you live. It's your sanctuary. It's the place that you stay. And when you're abiding, you're resting in your abode. It's kind of an interesting play on words. And when you abide in the Spirit, you're choosing to live in the Spirit. You're choosing to dwell with the Spirit. You know the three things or the four things or the five things you have to do to be alive? You have to eat, breathe, sleep. There are a few things we have to do to be alive, even when we're in our abode. I think some of this stuff is actually starting to get at what it means to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. Now, I think your Sabbath, I think for all of us that probably looks a little different. And I think we can probably all find our own times of what Sabbath looks like for us, where we find our Sabbath, how we do our Sabbath. I think that all of us have our own ideas of what that looks like, what it means to abide with God, abide in the Spirit like that. But I kind of want to talk about how Jesus did it. I think if Jesus is our model for everything that we do in life, maybe he's got some practices that will help us abide. So one thing, and this is the thing that just kind of blew my mind this last week, one way that Jesus abided with God was that he loved his neighbor. I have never once in my entire life thought loving my neighbor was abiding with God. I haven't. But why in the world did Paul throw that in at the beginning of this passage if that's not the case? We don't think in terms like that in our society, in our culture. We don't think in terms of loving our neighbor as abiding with Jesus. But let me illustrate how loving your neighbor is actually abiding with Jesus. So imagine that someone comes to you and they need a cup of water, and you give them a cup of water. Someone's thirsty, someone's hungry, and you give them something to eat. There's this passage in Matthew where Jesus says, when you give me a cup, or give this person a cup of water, or give this person something to eat, you're actually doing that for me. When we love our neighbor, we're actually serving Jesus, abiding with Jesus. And we're not used to thinking like this. But that's what Paul throws out in the very beginning of this passage. It's not just some random thing. And Jesus does that very well, obviously. There are a couple other things that Jesus did to abide with the Spirit, to abide with God. Things that sometimes we just kind of put on the back burner because they seem so basic. But one of them is Scripture, your Bible, the Word. And Jesus didn't just necessarily read the Word for reading the Word's sake. He didn't quote Scripture just for quoting Scripture's sake. When he walked this earth, he reclaimed Scripture. He reclaimed it. And maybe we need to do that in our own lives. Maybe instead of just reading Scripture, maybe a part of abiding with God is reclaiming Scripture in our life. Not making it just this thing that we're supposed to do, but this thing that's an act of grace in our life. We read Scripture not just to make ourselves feel bad, but we read Scriptures to fill ourselves with food, with words, so that we can live and live with the Spirit. And then prayer. Man, if you study the prayer life of Jesus and how Jesus abided with God, it wasn't just loving his neighbor and it wasn't just reclaiming the Word. He spent a lot of time in prayer. He would go off into the wilderness. He would get away from everyone. Like, that was his saying. He was like, okay, I'm done with you all for the day. I'm going over here, and you're more than welcome to come, but you won't, because I know humans. And he would go, and sometimes he would pray all night long, right? Prayer. Now, that probably seems like super simple, loving your neighbor, reclaiming the Word in your life, and maybe spending some time in prayer. But I'll be honest with you, I've never met anyone who did those three things that ever regretted it. Even when things were going really, really tough, I remember when I was talking about boot camp earlier, or basic earlier, when things were really, really tough, I was doing a lot of praying, a lot of reclaiming Scripture in my life. And despite what was going on around me, man, I felt more alive than I've ever felt in my entire life. The Spirit was speaking to me and leading me. Now, I want to give you one more image before we move on. The Eastern Orthodox Church has this image of the Trinity, of how the Trinity works, and it's probably my favorite understanding of the Trinity. It's my favorite understanding of how God works in the world and how God works in our life. They say that the Father breathes the Word into the world. So the Father breathes Jesus, who is the Word, into the world. And that word breathe in both Greek scriptures and Hebrew scriptures, it's this word for spirit, breath, breathe. The Father, Holy Spirit's Jesus, into the world. And if I could give you a challenge for living in the Spirit, it would be, hey guys, let the Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus into your life. Let the Father breathe Jesus into your life. Breathe being a prayer thing, a respiration thing. It's just prayer sort of thing. Let the Father breathe the Word into your life so that you find yourself abiding in the Spirit. Verse 18, one of my favorite verses in all of this. If the Spirit leads you, then you are not subject to the law. For me, this all goes back to the through line. The Spirit gives life, but the human flesh, it brings death. I am thankful that I get to live by the Spirit, because I know if I was just stuck with trying to live by the law, man, I would die over and over and over and over and over and over again. But for those of us who decide to follow Jesus, we get the Holy Spirit with that. We get to live in the Spirit, and the Spirit brings life. We're not subject to all of those other things. If you struggle, and I think every person in this room struggles, if I'm honest, if you struggle, it's okay, especially if you live in the Spirit, especially if the Spirit's waging war inside of you, fighting for you, making something for you, because guess what? You're no longer subject to the law. All of those things that would normally cause spiritual death for you, man, you've got the Spirit on your side. And you get to play this out the rest of your life. Now, we're not going to do verses 19 through 21, but if you wanted to look, verses 19 through 21, it's this laundry list of all the ways that we can go wrong. And it pretty much includes everything from A to Z. I guarantee that you've probably committed half a dozen of these offenses. You've probably gratified the flesh in half a dozen ways with this. Study it on your own. Just know, every single one of us in this room, we've done stupid things. There's no one in here that's going to go, yeah, I've never done something stupid. That's why we're here. That's why we're in church, let's be honest. So verses 22 and 23. But the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against such things. Man, if you're choosing to love your neighbor by the power of the Spirit, by the power of Jesus, and you're choosing to reclaim Scripture in your life, and you're choosing to spend some time in prayer, there are some things that are going to happen. Things that you don't cause, but things that happen in your life because of that. There's going to be love. And it's not the shallow kind of love, here's this really cute thing, yada, yada, yada. It's the kind of love that when times get tough, it's the kind of love that carries you through those tough times. When you abide in the Spirit, you get that. And joy. And it's not necessarily the same thing as happiness. And I'm sure some of you guys have heard this before. Happiness is when things are going right, I feel good. Joy is when things are going terribly wrong, I still feel okay. I still feel good. Things are going to be okay. That's joy. And I don't think you get that apart from the Spirit. Peace. And it's the kind of peace that when you have a foundation, something that you can stand on, something that you can plant both of your feet so that when the winds start blowing against you or when the waves start crashing against you, it's the kind of peace that I've got this foundation, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be able to weather the storm. It's that kind of peace. We get that when we abide in the Spirit. Patience. Lord knows I need patience, along with the rest of y'all. Kindness. And it's the kind of kindness that, you know, when you really just want to punch someone in the face, but you know you're going to feel better if you're kind, right? It's that kind of kindness. We get that kind of kindness. And goodness, or some translations will translate that as generosity. It's this idea that even when things are bad around you, you're still able to give. And it's not you that's able to do the giving. It's God through you. But there's just something life-giving about that. Something that is kind of like, oh, man, I can't believe you can do that, God, in this particular time. I can't believe that you can still help me give, still help me be good through the situation. And faithfulness, the kind where it's like, okay, times are tough, but God, I can hang with this. I can get through this. And I know by getting to the end of this, by running my race, man, I'm going to inherit the kingdom of God in a way that's just going to breathe life into me eternally. That kind of faithfulness. And humility, here's the way I would describe humility. It's, I don't have to be the person up front. I don't have to be the person in power. I don't have to be the person with all the money. I don't even have to be the best person around. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself in the correct way, which is, I'm created in the image of God. God loves me. God knows I struggle, and God's with me. It's that kind of humility. And when you have that kind of humility, some awesome things happen. And then self-control. Anyone want more self-control in their life? Hey, there's two of us. Three of us, yeah. Self-control. I still have moments where I'm not in self-control. But the Spirit leads to self-control. There is no law against such things as these. I want that kind of life for myself. I want more of that every single day of my life. I want more of that love, more of that peace, more of that joy. If that's what I get by abiding in the Spirit, man, I will trade that for all the struggles every single day, any day. And we can have that. Now, I would normally probably close after this particular verse, but Paul doesn't close here. Paul closes in verse 26. So we'll go ahead and skip to 26. He tacks on this thing at the very end, and it's kind of one of these, Paul, why did you add this on? If you just ended with this speech about the fruit of the Spirit and how it brings us life, why don't you just end it right there? Why don't you just stop right there? But here's verse 26. We must not be proud or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. Paul, that's kind of weird to tack on. That's kind of a weird way to land the plane. Like, why is this the thing? Here's why this is the thing. I think sometimes in church circles, we tend to compare ourselves against each other based on the fruit of the Spirit. Man, that person has a lot of love in their life. What am I doing wrong? That person has a lot of joy in their life. What am I doing wrong? Man, Jesus, that person has a lot of self-control. What am I doing wrong? And I think Paul tacks this on at the very end. He lands the plane at the very end because he wants us to know this particular thing. The person who is an addict, just learning to walk in the Lord, learning to walk in the Spirit, is as much following the Spirit, as much abiding in the Spirit as the person who's a saint already and been a saint for 50 years. We're not the ones who produce the fruit. We're not the ones who cause all these good things to fall on us. It's the Spirit. And it's not that someone's doing something better than you are if you're just starting out, or if you're wrestling with one particular thing compared to someone else. It's just that you're in a different part of the journey. So I want you to clearly know this, especially if it's your first time here. If you're just first starting out, and you're just learning what it means to abide in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, you are as much living in the Spirit as the person who's 50 years ahead of you, period. Because that's how God works. He even tells a parable. Why did this person get this when I've been doing this for 50 years of my life and they just started? God loves us that much. That's just how God works, and one of the reasons God is worth following. Now, my prayer for you all, my prayer for myself, and this abiding in the Spirit thing that's just kind of deep and hard to understand, it's that we would be a community, we would be a people who don't judge others by how far along they are in their faith or how far not along they are in their faith. We'd be a community that accepts it from A to Z, and we're really already doing that really well. But that we would become a community who urges each other to love our neighbor because we know that's a Spirit thing. That we would urge each other to reclaim Scripture in our lives because that's a Spirit thing. And we would urge each other towards prayer, just loving prayer with each other. We would urge ourselves towards all those things because I believe 100% down in my heart, and I know Justin believes this too, and I know the leaders of this place believe this too. Man, when we're doing those things, we're making space for the Spirit to do some amazing things in our community and continue to do some amazing things in our community. I'd love to pray for you all real quick and invite the worship team to come up. Jesus, I want to be honest, this is some hard stuff to understand. It's easy, but it's hard all at the same time. And God, I know there were some new things for me this week in all of this, especially the loving your neighbor piece. God, I know most of us, not all of us, we fully believe that fulfilling the law is loving our neighbor, well, Lord. But if loving our neighbor is what helps us to abide in the Spirit, if that's a part of it, if that's what Paul's getting at in this passage, help us to do that. Help us to really engage in that. Lord, spur us on towards love. Help us to be a people of love, and not shallow love, but godly love, the kind of love that's willing to lay its life down for others. And Jesus, if we need to reclaim Scripture in our lives, to help us abide in the Spirit so that we can hear you speak to us, help us to do that too. Help us to be a people who truly listen to you. God, we know one of the first ways, one of the primary ways you speak to us is through Scripture. We believe that. And God, help us to be a people of prayer. If prayer helps us abide in you, to be filled by you, and gives us the ability to listen to you, like Justin said last week, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to abide like that. And Lord, go with us this week with permission to rest, with permission to take some time to abide, to stop thinking about our jobs, to stop thinking about struggles, to stop thinking about whatever it is that's distracting us in life. But give us a space this week to abide in you, a space for prayer, a space for engaging in your word. Give us the opportunity to love someone this week. And we just ask all these things in your name.